I remember the days I used to be able to get out during the summer. I used to be able to bike, used to enjoy that, used to be able to walk, used to be able to walk a lot. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you end up with chronic illness, no matter what it is, you know, and progression of things, and then you realize, you know, and your immune system will get compromised. Folks, I don't care what kind of oncology treatment, cancer treatment you're going through. The first thing an oncologist should explain to you after your finished treatments is your immune system is definitely never the same as it was. If you don't realize remission, as I was told, your immune system will constantly be fighting. Okay, which is why they advise you not to be around people that are sick. Don't be around, you know, large crowds and things like that with people, you know, during flu season, is because when you go through these oncology treatments, whether it's oral, whether it's chemo, whether it's radiation, it alters your immune system. It forever changes your immune system. It forever changes the chemical makeup and everything within your body, your blood cells and everything else. And I already had, over the course of the last several years in going through treatments, and that is a sensitivity to mosquito bites, a bruise. And this year was no exception. And go outside, mosquito bite, bruise the hell up. And then I realized too that I ended up yesterday with some kind of spider bite and right side of my eye. I lived in that swelled up like a balloon. That has to do with, I made an appointment, thank God. One thing came out of COVID, it was the ability to be able to do e-visits when you cannot get into an office and you just see someone, or they need to see what's going on right away and they can visually see what's going on. And as I was told during my e-visit, it's just you have a compromised immune system, so you're always going to be more susceptible and more sensitive to any kind of bug bites, spider bites, bee stings, whatever. You have to be careful. But this year, everything has bloomed earlier. Allergies and that pollen, you know, has come out 2 weeks earlier. So if you're already dealing with sensitivity and you're, you know, you struggle with your immune system with chronic illness, no matter what that is, you're going to be more susceptible of being more sensitive. You know, if you already are, to basic bites like mosquito bites. I'd be darned if I didn't, you know? I'm like, you just pass the summer up, okay? You just pass it up. Because I really don't get to enjoy it much. And it's like every year I realized just from a year ago how much less I get to be able to enjoy it. So you have to, instead of like getting upset or mad about it, because it's not going to really do you any good, folks. And those that are in this group, unique group of folks, you know, I'm talking about and honing it down on you, or if you're a caregiver or you, you know, or someone who cares about someone, you know, that's going through chronic illness, whether it's cancer or any other medical ailment or things progressing, is you have to find things to replace what you used to be able to enjoy. You can never expect that life's going to be the same, you know, because when things progress, your life changes and evolves, and things in your life change permanently, and a lot of times permanently. And although it doesn't mean it's fair, you don't have to be happy or ecstatic about it, but what's important is you have to understand it's not your fault. First of all, it's not your fault. Yeah, you can't control things with your health, especially cancer and other, you know, chronic conditions and ailments that have no cure but have limited on really just getting you into remission. And there's a lot of conditions, medical ailments that can go in remission. But, you know, let's just face it, remission isn't forever. But you can't fault yourself for things you can't control. And you have to take something that you weren't able to do and find something else that you can. And that means trying new things, trying new hobbies. Maybe finding a place you can indoor walk, like indoor walking. Obviously, biking, I don't think there's any. They need to create a place where you can indoor bike. Why do we not have any of that? Why are these billion-dollar investors, you know? Why are we not investing in something unique and different? Because, you know, 2023, definitely we're going through major changes in the world, not just United States. Why is there no indoor biking places? You know what I mean? Just get a big, huge lot. Let's put like an indoor, like a dome or what, however you want to build it, and to where there's different types of places to bike. You know, we have tracks in that in gyms. Why do we not have places? And maybe it's just the entrepreneur, creative side of me that just thought of it and watched something's going to land and show up in the next couple of years, because somebody who's got money is going to listen to this podcast and go, wow, she's onto something. She should take that to Shark Tank. You know what? I think I'm going to call one of them from Shark Tank anyway. I'm going to invest some money because it's a great idea. Why not? Why not? Make it a franchise. Have this big dome or big facility where people can indoor bike. Have a section for kids and families for biking, specifically for children. Children that are starting out to learn how to bike. Have classes to learn how to bike. Why do we not have something like this? You know? Hey, have helmets, protective gear. If you worry about the insurance side of it, as you know, starting out with a new business. Why is there nowhere to indoor bike? Good question, isn't it? I mean, something to research. Is there anywhere? Is there any entertainment places where you can indoor bike? I never heard of it. I just came up with something else. But seriously, you have to take what I used to enjoy. And I still have my cruising bike, you know, and I have my mountain bike. Cruising bike, you know, just enjoy to ride. It's a larger tires than that. Mountain bike, if you really want to get some exercise. And then I realized after oncology, I did bike for a while, and then the tumor kept growing and growing and growing, and now it's way too large to feel safe to bike. Could I try? I'm sure I could try to do anything. Would it be safe? No. Could it be really dangerous? Yeah. Because you have to remember, your tumors have blood vessels wrapped around. And when tumors start growing and they start expanding, they start pushing other organs, and those blood vessels become even more, let's just say, vulnerable. But I realized, I'm like, between mosquito bites and now some kind of spider bite, I was told, on e-visit, you know, and do topical stuff and that. But I'm not able, as they said, you're not going to be able to enjoy really outdoors. Probably not good for you this much this year. Because while the tumor continues growing and progressing, your immune system also changes, and not for the better, but for the worse. Because your immune system is trying to fight this going on. And then when you end up with insect bites or whatever, bee stings or anything, then now it's like has to go, some of your immune system has to go this way. And if your immune system's already compromised, you can forget it. So I realize this summer is like, you know, I've have to realize indoor things. And that's probably where I'm figuring out, you know, I have to stand on my own 2 feet, you know. I've had to fend for my damn self. It's not been easy. Has it been fair? No. Have I asked people that should be a totem pole to, I mean, help me? You know, listen, I need help with this stuff. I'm going through this stuff medically. I need help. They didn't want to. They didn't. I asked for months, fell on deaf ears. You can ask for help, but you can't make people see and understand, you know? People know what you're going through. And if you're struggling or, you know, in whatever situation and you ask the proper people to help, well, no matter where they're at on the totem pole, and it gets ignored and thrown off, or the person on the totem pole or individuals on the totem pole of the title who they are to you, and then they'll literally tell you to ask the public instead, you need to be removed off the totem pole. You need to remove those people off the totem pole. I don't care who's listening to this. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad for it. Don't you feel bad for it. There's certain people on totem pole life, and they know what you're going through. I don't care how old you are. And you say, hey, listen, I need some help. And instead of helping, they're saying, have the public help you, have the public do this, have the public do that. And depending where you're on the totem pole, who you are, that's not up to the public. That's up to you on the totem pole. That's your responsibility. That's nobody else's. Don't feel bad when somebody tells you with a licensed PhD is just you remove yourself. That's not normal. Remove yourself. You can't be around that. I can't be around that. And other people, I'm telling you, other people will step forward. I believe the good Lord needs you to understand that some doors you got to close, and you can't be around certain people because it's not good for you. If they're not looking out for your emotional well-being and your safety and this, then they're not looking out for anything for you, and you don't have to be around them. And don't you feel bad that you are not, okay? All right? Give people time, you know? And sometimes time doesn't mean anything. It's just time. And people don't change. They don't see where really they should have helped. That's not your fault and your problem. Don't you dare fault yourself for anybody who feels like it's not your fault. You know? If you're like me and, you know, you got that pride and you got to swallow it and you got to ask certain people on totem pole, listen, I need some help. What do you need help with? And it goes nowhere. It doesn't matter what you ask for help. It doesn't go right. Major things that help. People know they need to help. They should be helping, and they're not. You know you should have been helping, and you didn't. I don't feel bad not being around it or people who have failed, period. But you're going to end up having to rely on your damn self, and it's going to be hard. And I've done it. I've done it for almost a year now, And it's been physically hard. It's been draining. It's definitely triggered parts of my anxiety. Today, it's like I realized, you know, when you get good therapy, and I continue back twice a week, is instead of working off your emotions, look at things logically, how people act, Kim. This is why I don't want you around certain people. And other people have said the same thing, because they are not of support. They know what's going on, and they're not stepping up. And they have the ways and means, and they're refusing. And you don't need to be around it, because that's not normal. That's not normal. Okay? It's not normal. They'll feel bad having to keep a far distance from people. Because if they're not supportive and they know you're struggling, you don't need to be around that. That's not anybody that's going to help you out. Okay? Take that time, put it back in the jar of precious, valuable, sacred time, and you give that time to yourself. Don't give people your time that don't deserve your time, period. Give it to yourself. You know, you're fending for yourself. I get you. I feel it. I feel you. Because I've been there for almost a year now. It's not easy. It's been hard. But I've made it through. And I'm a hell of a lot stronger and wiser. And I'm damn proud of myself. You know? You have to learn when you swallow your pride. And don't fault. It's all of a sudden, you know, you got someone on the totem pole, or people on the totem pole, like, Jesus, you know? They know what I'm going through. And they act like this is a joke. They know it's not a joke. They've got whatever they've got. They got real proof in the pudding, so to speak. Whether it's audio, video, photos, whatever. I don't care what it is. All right? And this is like, whatever. It's people like that will view you as a burden. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. Have somebody else deal with it. Have the public deal with it. Have another guy deal with it. Hopefully they'll find another guy. Hopefully they'll find a relationship and they can deal with it. And I don't want to deal with it. And this is a mentality of people that don't care about you. They don't love you. Because that's not love and that's not care or concern. No, that's not all right. Don't fault yourself, okay? It's not your fault. No. If you're like one of those people right now and you're faulting yourself on, you know, and you swallow your pride, or you're asking for real valid help for real valid reasons. And if it's domestic violence, whether it's emotional, physical, or mental abuse, and you swallow your pride, or you get out of that corner of being intimidated and manipulated and everything else from the abuser, and you finally ask for help, and you really, really, I mean, the person or individuals you ask for help, depending on the totem pole where they're at, and they failed you, you're going to probably not want to ask anybody else for help. You're probably not going to want to talk about anything you're going through. You know what you're going to do? You're going to isolate yourself, and that's not healthy. You need to still reach out. Your gut instincts will guide you and tell you. I believe the universe does too. And to the right people that have good hearts, good souls, beautiful souls, kind people. You know, like I said about my surgeon, you know, beautiful soul, rare, one of the rare. And it took me in like a daughter. I have a friend that's in town, and their parents have been absolutely wonderful to me. As they said, I just call you my second daughter. You know, I just call you my second daughter. Yeah. They've instilled a lot of good conversations, valuable wisdom off of their experiences in life. And sometimes you just need somebody to talk to, you know what I mean? You need somebody to be in your corner. Like I said, you know, I feel like people who truly get me, that group and that circle is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's the truth. So you have to fill your life back with good souls and good people. And you have to be really selective. You have to be very choosy. Okay. That's the truth. But you have to have, if you don't have a parent or parents, whether present or active, physically being or emotionally, mentally, they're not present. You have to have parental role models to replace what you don't have. And that's anyone in a totem pole lineup, okay? Because there's people in life of importance by the totem pole. I've talked about this before. If you don't have it, you need to find it. You see, search it for it, seek it out, okay? You know what I mean? Don't feel bad when you have to distance yourself from people that aren't healthy because they're watching you struggle, they're watching what you're going through, but they're not doing anything about it. Okay, that's not normal. That's not normal. It's not normal at all. You can talk to anybody, I don't care who, what title, what license, it's not normal. Don't feel bad, you know, those that are in specific group, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of cancer patients, majority cancer patients, those have dealt with oncology and you haven't realized a remission like I haven't, and you're still progressing with things as you realize every day, things change. It's been a hell of a past 3 nights. It's been hell. I woke up, I could not sleep. You get so frustrated like I do, and I don't cry a lot, but I did. I got so frustrated. You start feeling when things progress, you deal with tumors, the secondary always when things progress to the point is you're going to get fluid buildup, and it's called ascites, is a medical terminology. That ascites is pockets of fluid, and when it starts collecting at different parts, it starts pushing on your diaphragm, and the tumor starts pushing up, and that's what's happening with me. And I've realized over the past month, I'm thinking it's asthma, and I'm told by oncology it's not. This is ascites, this is fluid, and this is the tumor pushing up on your diaphragm, and you get out of breath. Ovarian tumors, when they progress, it's very common, as I was told, when you get to this stage in part, and that's what I'm experiencing. So I have to sleep a certain way. You know, I like to sleep in a normal way, but you realize you can't. So it's like things from just years ago, the sleeping positions change. And then, you know, you're dealing with your immune system, because you always will as a cancer patient, when things have never went to remission and slow things down, but not really remission. And you realize life continues changing. Is it frustrating? Yes. Is it fair? Hell no. But you don't have a choice. And I'm telling you, as a patient, don't you fault yourself. Those people who view you as a burden, they don't want to help. They're just sitting back and eating bonbons and just going, well, he or she will die sooner or later. They don't have to hear about deal with it. These are people who view people that are sick as a damn burden. Okay, those are not people you want to be around sick. You don't want at the end of your life when you're dying. I'm sorry I can say it because I can say it because nobody likes to talk about death. Was saying when you're dying, okay, you better be thinking about this, cancer patients. When you're on that last part of your journey and you're getting your will and everything together and you need to do it. And I've had friends that I have met over the past 2 or 3 years that literally have got cards for their kids and videos and things they've made because they knew they were in this last part of their journey and they never got remission and the tumor keeps getting larger and larger. Now I understand when they say they have a hard time breathing. I never experienced it, but I am now. And then you realize OSHRT. Now I really have to be serious on this part of my life. I need to get this together. I need to get this together. But you need to think about it. When you're dying, okay, and your body's shutting down, don't you think for one hot second that you can't control right now while you're alive and you're still coherent with a will and dual power attorney and with a good estate attorney, you better sit down. You better have it legalized and notarized, and you can keep people away from you. Oh, yes, you can. If somebody's not there for you and have caused nothing but problems for you and have not had an income, they're just not there. They are not good around people who are sick. They never were. They got a track record. They're not doing anything for you. You know, they're causing you misery or whatever. Maybe they're causing you more problems than what you need. You distance yourself because you know it's healthy. You don't have to have those people around you or individuals when you're dying. Oh, no, you don't. Don't you think for one hot second, when you respect yourself now, you respect yourself when you're dying. You better respect the cocoon that you're in. Because there's nothing really that says that you have to have, and people have to, there's nobody's going to force themselves around you when you're dying that you don't want around you. And when you give people time and they don't take it serious, and they're still viewing you as a burden, a whatever, blah, 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 they're not there for you. I don't care what the situation is. All right, I'm passionate about this. You don't have to have them around you when you're dying. Nobody does. You ever been around somebody who was in that last stage of life, and they didn't want to be around so-and-so or so-and-sos or whatever, and they literally forced their way around people that were last stage, and you knew by the facial expressions they didn't want them around? If they had known and was educated and somebody told them to sit down with an estate, I said real estate, I'm sorry, I deal with the health stuff today, an estate attorney, I believe that's what I said, you can have it in writing. Listen, I don't want this person around. These are around. They weren't around me. They weren't there for me. They weren't present or active. They were nothing but causing me a pain in the ass or whatever the situation, okay? Everybody's situation is unique. Whether it's a friend's, family, loved ones, ex-spouse, current spouse, there are people still married. They're dealing with it. They got that staying power. Or there's things that they can't finish the rest of their whatever situation you're in. And nobody's in anybody's shoes. So thou shalt not pass judgment. Remember that, okay? Remember that. All right, you don't want them around. sit down with an estate attorney, get an e-visit, go on video chat. You can't get out of the house. You're in a different part of your cancer or your chronic illness, and you can't really get out much, okay? An attorney, and where COVID did open up, is video appointments, video conferences, okay? Had the paperwork mailed to you, all right? Get an estate attorney, and you make sure you have your will, dual power attorney, and all your wants and needs and everything, down to the last of what you want, of what you expect and demand. Because you're allowed to demand nothing but utmost respect for your body and you as a whole, as a person now, is when you are dying and you're in the process of the journey of going back home to heaven. There is nothing that says you have to have certain person or individuals still being around you. And nothing worse, and I don't know how many people have ever gone to funerals, because I have nothing worse than going to a funeral, and you got these people go crying a river that needed to go, a housewives of Atlanta or a housemen of Atlanta, and they weren't around, they weren't present, they weren't supportive, they didn't reach out, or family, friends, loved ones, and then they want to cry a river like a Justin Timberlake, version number 5 at a funeral or a visitation, and you sit there and you think, where the hell was these people at, this person at? You weren't even around them. Oh. But you want to act like you care now. And it's nothing but an act, okay? You don't want a funeral? Fine. You want a visitation? You don't want to have a circus? Fine. You don't want that visitation? You're allowed to do whatever you want to do of respecting yourself with the utmost respect now, and do it now before it's too late. Because there are people who have forced their way and act like they gave a damn when they didn't, while you were struggling and suffering. Just think about it. I'm sorry, think about it. If someone's not there for you when you're struggling and suffering, okay, would you want them around? I consider the body a cocoon, you know, and the spirit starts leaving and going back home to heaven. It's just a shell left behind, and that's how I see things, you know. That's how I've always seen it. You want people or individuals around, or individual around, who hadn't respected you, who wasn't giving you decency, they weren't supportive, they didn't have any kindness or compassion, they've used you as a burden, you felt as a burden because that's how they were treating you. You want them around you when you're dying? No, you don't. You want to respect your body. You don't have to have a visitation. You don't have to have a funeral. There's nothing that says that. You can have a small service, one person, two people, whatever you want. Any good estate attorney will explain it to you, because I know I was. You can have, Kim, whatever you want. This is your life. This is your body. And you should utmost respect yourself now until the last breath. You don't have to have all this stuff. You don't have to have people. But you protect yourself to make sure that they're not. And this goes for anyone. That people that weren't there and supportive and knew how they should have been treating you, and they failed, and they continue doing such, I don't care who it is in your life, you need to get your wants and wishes and everything finalized, you know, with an estate attorney. And you need to get it signed, you need to get a witness, you need to notarize, and you put it in their safe, put it in their files. Every attorney has a safe place, okay? And let them hold on to that stuff, okay? Have someone who is responsible. It doesn't have to be a loved one. It doesn't have to be a spouse. It doesn't have to be a cousin, a friend, or whatever. It can be anybody, you know, that you have as the person who will take things over, contact the attorney, listen to the situations is, and we want to go ahead and make sure now that everything that was in writing is now in place, and now we're making it active, okay? You have to understand, when you're dealing with something that's progressing, a chronic illness, and who gives a damn, the people who thought it was all magical, and, you know, and especially if somebody's dealing with chronic illness their whole life, you know, and you'll have people go, oh my God, I've been dealing with my life, I'm so sick and tired about it. Yeah, you know, that's why people don't share their journey. The hell with those people. Because when you get farther in your condition and you realize that your body is not helping you, it's fighting against what's going on, and you know, you're dealing with real things that you haven't before, and symptoms, and things get pretty scary, you realize those people didn't mean a damn anyway. What do they got to do with anything anyway? Don't go feeling bad for cutting people out of your life that aren't there for you while you're struggling, you're suffering. And don't feel bad not having around when you're going on your last breath either. You know, and you'll have some people go, oh my God, it's such a harsh podcast. Oh my God, this is terrible. Those are the people who have never struggled or suffered their entire life but a cough, cold, sneeze, maybe a little minor surgery or something. And then you'll have the people who really, you know, will say that, and they've gone through something major, and it's supposed to change you for the better, You're supposed to learn, come out better as a better person, and they still haven't changed, and there's some people got worse. It's lessons in everything in life, especially when you struggle and you suffer. Those are lessons. It's supposed to change you for the better. You're supposed to have a bigger heart, more kindness and compassion, you know, understanding, helping others. But there's some people that don't. They get worse. Hurt. But don't, you know, don't feel bad. You know, someone I had met and crossed over the past year, and they had passed away from cancer once they went into hospice. They lived not even 3 weeks. They were exhausted. Their pain management, they could hard to get the pain under control. I get it. I understand it now. Once they went into hospice and they became comfortable, they passed. They just wanted to be comfortable. They got tired of the pain. There was people in situations they didn't want around their body when they were in that last process. As they said, I'm respecting myself now and I'll respect myself then. And they were one of those people as well who sat with an estate attorney, and they made sure that certain individuals and people who weren't there while they were struggling and suffering aren't going to be there when they're dying either. And they made sure of it. And it happened. I talked to the spouse and it stuck. You know, you have to respect yourself, no matter if you're sick. Because where people don't respect you, you need to gain a little bit more respect of yourself. Don't fault yourself. Don't blame yourself. You know, don't punish yourself for the lack of from others. You know, because when you're going through a chronic illness, you're going through cancer, whatever it is, and you're going through that journey, you're going through the stages, you know, you're talking to people and you're reaching out and you're joining groups and you need to fill your life. You need to fill the voids. You know, you don't have a parent. Parents is active. They don't give a damn. They don't care, whatever. And you need to replace them. You need to find people who are proactive, who can stand in for who you lack of in your life, especially on a totem pole, you know? And people who don't do that are the people that fault themselves for the actions of others that aren't, their actions aren't okay anyway, for people who aren't there for you and watch you sit back watching you struggle and suffer. That's not a normal person. That's not a good soul, period, okay? Dust yourself off and find the people that are. You know, because there's still good people, good souls in this world. And the more that you understand, instead of going with your emotions and you really look at the actions of others and you get a good therapist and you analyze what's going on and allow a therapist, a good therapist has been a practice for many, many years, if not decades, you know, and get out of the emotions, look at the logical side of how people are or people lack of, then you understand you don't need to be around those people anyway, but you need to replace the people that aren't present for you. Okay, and you'll know exactly what you need and what you're looking for, and talk to a therapist, social worker, counselor. I'm missing and lacking this, dealing with my journey I'm on. And they will give you ideas and suggestions of how to get people into your life, active people, active roles in your life, of the people that you need and the support and the kindness and compassion and just a damn heart. And people just don't be there. And a lot of times when you're dealing with chronic illness, it's not the monetary what you need. It's the emotional side. It's the kindness, the compassion, the understanding. Hey, listen, you need a hand. And there's a lot of people that just view people who are sick as burdens. There's a track record of how they were around and behaved around others. And most of the time, you're not the first in the rodeo, so don't fault yourself. Don't fault yourself for ignorance of others, okay? But you need to actively find those to replace and to fill in your life that will fill those voids and be able to help you to get through the tough days and the tough evenings and the tough afternoons and understand you. People that get you. Like I said, people that truly get me. A small circle of those who really, truly always got me and get me. You know? And don't feel bad when you have to put distance between people, no matter who they are and if they're on a totem pole. Because if they aren't giving you the love and support and kindness and compassion of what you need now while you're struggling during your journey, then you don't need them when you're dying either. Because sometimes it's just a mere act, you know? So others don't know really how they were not present for some. But you're never going to be a first on a totem pole. So don't fault yourself. But getting back to this in this podcast is I realized, you know, how much things have changed. And sitting down with palliative care and just talking about it the last couple of months of where we were a year ago, Kim, and where we are now, and it's not looking good. And things have progressed quicker sooner than later, but it's really to oncology. This was all mapped out for you and was told of how things were going to end up proceeding ahead and progression. And I get it. But I'm just going to say this, you know. Don't fault yourself for change you can't control with your health. It'll affect your life. It'll affect everything in your life, okay? We need to save this podcast and you're that person, because I used to be that way. And you get upset. You get frustrated. That I've been there, done that. Don't do it. Don't waste your precious, valuable, sacred energy, because you need it, you know? You keep fighting. You know, you're a true damn warrior. And I applaud you, you know? Love yourself first. Put yourself first. Your happiness comes first, period. If people on a totem pole can't be people on totem pole, then you replace the people on the totem pole. You put a distance, and that's that. People on totem pole can't be present while you're struggling and suffering, then they don't need to be present when you are struggling and you're in the last part of your journey either. Make sure you sit down with an estate attorney and you get it in writing to protect yourself. Respect yourself. Like I always say, the cocoon that's left behind, you know, because you don't need that. You don't need the stress. You need to preserve all that energy, the sacred, precious energy that you're going to need. And when it comes to summertime, and, you know, let's face it, anybody oncology patient, you're going to have a compromised immune system no matter what treatment or treatments you've gone through. You have to remember that, you know, during different seasons, flu season, winter, things change. Your immune system weakens, you have to change things. You're not going to be able to go places like you used to. You're not going to be able to go on vacations like you used to. You have to stay away from people in the flu season. Summertime, you become, like myself, more sensitive to any kind of bug bite. Your body has a response, you know, and you're told, hey, listen, stay away from this, cover yourself up, this, don't go out this time of night, da-da-da-da. You can't bike like you used to. You can't enjoy things like you used to until somebody takes some $1 billion and gets an investment in a indoor bike entertainment center for biking for families. I'm sure somebody's going to come up with the idea somewhere, somehow, right? Because we lack it. I don't think it's out there now. Take it with a grain of salt and just tell yourself, listen, you know what? This isn't my fault. Replace as you have to with people that those aren't there. Replace the same with activities and hobbies and things that you have enjoyed that you can't do anymore either. And find something. Painting. Designing. Web design. Maybe you like social media, certain things, creating videos. Maybe you like to do things for other companies. Maybe you like to make a little bit extra money. Maybe you want to cook. Maybe, you know, do things at home. All right? And keep your social circle and expand it out, you know, because your circle gets smaller. People who understand that truly get you, you know, when you're going through different stages of progressive disease or cancer illness. Expand your social circle. Go in communities and that. And those that get it and understand, they get you. But most importantly, respect you. You know, because if people don't respect you during your journey, they're not going to respect you at the end either. Remember that. And always remember, you are the most important. Your happiness and your well-being. Okay? You come first. Period.